From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Tuesday, February 21st, 2017. I'm Philip Grant. Daniel Zuckerman is reporting in the Daily Mail that the Friends of St. Patrick's Church has received word from the Vatican that the papal administration will hear the appeal filed by the group with Bishop Edward Scharfenberger of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Albany. The appeal from the diocese order is now pending with the Vatican, parishioner and Friends co-leader Deb Johnson said this week. Friends of St. Pat's was formed to reverse the diocese's May decision to close the historic church. Once the papal administration in Rome hears from Scharfenberger and evaluates his response, the administration will reach out to the group again with more information, Johnson said. She said, and I quote, "I'm hoping that the bishop and the people in Rome will read between the lines and see there's a disconnect. As we wait for a decision from Rome, we are moving on," end quote. The communications director of the local diocese said that the Roman Catholic Diocese of Albany declined to comment on issues surrounding the church because of the status of the appeal. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Roger Hannigan-Gilson is reporting in the Register Star that the Columbia County Council on the Arts officially closed Monday, February the 20th. The group cited the departure of its executive director along with the majority of its board as well as financial problems as the reason for its closure. The council showcased emerging artists in its Warren Street Gallery and created the annual Arts Walk event. Former executive director Cynthia Mulvaney said she resigned in mid-May and the organization has been in, and I quote, hibernation, end quote, since. She said, and I quote, "We had problems that any sort of nonprofit would have," end quote. CCCA Board President Fran Heaney said the council had been in a conundrum since Mulvaney left. Heaney said, and I quote, "That kind of upset things. Her job was to write grants, and when she left, a lot of the board members left," end quote. Heaney also blamed mismanagement in budgeting for the council's demise. You can read that full story in the Register Star. Victoria Addison is reporting in the Daily Mail on the activities of U.S. Representative John Faso this week during the February congressional recess. Faso's communications director, Courtney Weaver, told the paper on Monday, February the 20th, that Faso will meet with representatives of the Alzheimer's Association, AARP, a farmers organization, and other groups interested in discussing the Affordable Care Act, including some constituents. The Kinderhook Republican met with an unidentified firm that handles health insurance plans for small businesses and public employers on Monday. Faso said, and I quote, "We are pretty booked this week because we are dealing with requests we've had over the past number of weeks. There's interest in issues that I'm trying to accommodate people routinely," end quote. Also on Monday, Faso spoke live with Gary Bischkopf and Chris Acosta at WGHQAM, Kingston Public Radio. He fielded questions from callers about the Dodd-Frank financial reform law, the appointment of Scott Pruitt to the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, his thoughts on health care and defunding Planned Parenthood, as well as the U.S. Coast Guard's proposal to establish 10 new anchorage locations on the Hudson River. Faso told the host he had no intention of holding any town hall meetings because he said they turn into, and I quote, "shouting matches," end quote, and are, and I quote, "unproductive," end quote. Instead, he prefers to meet with individuals and small groups and to hold roundtable discussions. Addison reports a daily schedule of public events are available on Faso's congressional website, but the names of organizations and constituents are not generally posted. The only entry currently on the calendar for this week is the February 21st WGHQ interview. Daniel Zuckerman is reporting in the Daily Mail that an ice climber has survived a nearly 20-foot fall at Devil's Kitchen near Platte Clove Road. The 50-year-old man was ice climbing with a group when the ledge he was on broke, causing him to plunge 15 to 20 feet. First Assistant Chief Stephen Toomey from the Tannersville Fire Department said the report came in just before noon on Saturday, February the 18th. The unidentified man was struck with pieces of falling ice. Toomey said, and I quote, "The witnesses said he didn't lose consciousness, but he got clobbered in the head," end quote. The man was helped out by members of the Twin Cloves Rope Rescue Squad. The man was examined at the scene by emergency services. He refused medical treatment and was released. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Patricia Doxey's reporting in the Daily Freeman that the number of Ulster County residents who volunteer exceeds both the state and national rates, according to a recent report by the Benjamin Center for Public Policy Initiatives. In a survey using the same questions as a U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics poll, the center found that 66,000 county residents, or 45% of the population, indicated they volunteered at least once in the past year. That number was nearly double the state rate and almost 20 points higher than the national rate. The center found women were more likely to volunteer than men. College-educated adults were more likely to volunteer than those without a college degree. Adults with children are more likely to volunteer than childless adults, and the employed are more likely to volunteer than the unemployed. According to the report, the majority of volunteers in Ulster County gave their time to religious organizations or social and community service organizations, followed closely by educational, youth, sports, hobby, cultural, and arts organizations. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. USA Today reported, Not My President's Day rallies took place around the country on Monday, February the 20th, attracting a variety of activists opposed to the current Republican administration. Events took place in more than a dozen locations, including New York and New Platts. In Manhattan, hundreds of protesters gathered shortly after noon near Columbus Circle, home to the Trump International Hotel and Tower. The Daily Freeman is reporting Move Forward New York organized a rally held on Monday on the SUNY New Platts campus. The event co-sponsors included the United University Professions and the New Platts Student Association. Part of the New Platts rally involved tearing down a symbolic wall, protesting Trump's plan to build a wall on Mexico's border. Patch.com is reporting New York is ranked fourth in the country for the number of hate groups operating within its borders, according to the latest version of the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate map released last week. The center tracked more than 900 hate groups nationwide last year. In New York, 47 groups were identified, including four groups on Long Island. Two chapters of the Ku Klux Klan, a racist music production company, and an anti-Muslim group. The center also named a black separatist group headquartered in Mount Vernon. The list was compiled using information from the groups themselves, as well as police and media reports from around the country. The number of hate groups in the U.S. peaked in 2011 when the Southern Poverty Law Center tracked just over 1,000 groups. The number of groups the center tracks has more than doubled since 1999. You can read that full story at patch.com. Today is day 7 of the WGXE Radical Radio 2017 Pledge Drive. During the coming days, WGXE programmers, volunteers, and staff must raise $20,000 to keep WGXE hands-on radio on the air, live, and local during the coming months. Your support will make all the difference. Call 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxe.org/donate. Thank you for supporting creative community radio in New York's Greene and Columbia counties. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting increasing clouds today with a temperature high near 44 degrees. For Tuesday night, a chance of rain mainly between 9 p.m. and 4 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 34. There is a chance of a brief period of light mixed precipitation, including freezing rain or freezing drizzle, late tonight, Tuesday night, into early Wednesday morning. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 52 degrees, Wednesday night partly cloudy with a low around 37, and on Thursday, a slight chance of showers after 1 p.m., but it will be partly sunny with a high near 61 degrees. Thursday night, a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 41. Sunrise today was at 6:41 a.m., and the sun will set at 5:36 p.m. That will give us 10 hours and 55 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Tuesday, the 21st day of February 2017. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.